I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 11. We're taking a little bit of a break from our Psalm study to give us a little bit fuller picture of Jesus and what Jesus did in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection, which the Bible says that is the full gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Jesus died and that he was buried and that he rose again according to the scriptures on the third day. And so as we move toward this important season for us, I would like for us to take an opportunity to branch out, look at what Jesus accomplished and what Jesus did in those few days he had before his crucifixion and then his resurrection. So I want us to turn to John chapter 11, if you haven't already done that. And want to read just this first part, and it's really the whole of chapter 11. So I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of homework and be faithful to read that, to read chapter 11. But I want us to look at the first part of this. Now a certain man was sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This sickness is, this is what Jesus said. He heard about it. But when he whom you love is sick. He said, so the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God. So that, this is a very important statement because it's a purpose clause, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. He stayed. Now, notice what John had said just before that. He loved them. He cared about them. But he stayed. Because that's going to be an important part of what we're going to talk about as well. So, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go up to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This he said. And after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of his sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So then said, so Jesus said to them, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And that's the first thing I want us to think about. Jesus had to be very direct with his disciples. You know what it's like when you don't get what God wants to tell you? You don't receive exactly what he has for you? Jesus said very clearly to them, Lazarus is dead. He's not just asleep. He's dead. And this is going to be very important for them to know as we go through the rest of this story. It's important to know that Lazarus was not just sleeping, but Lazarus had died. And notice how Jesus said to them as they were traveling along the way to go see Lazarus, Lazarus is dead. I remember when Tamara told me that we were pregnant with our last child, Ruthie. She told me about, I think it was 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. I had gotten up to go to the bathroom, came back to bed. And she said, you're not going to believe who's pregnant. And I thought and I thought and I thought and I couldn't think of anybody. She said, we are. And my response to that is, you've got to be kidding me. How in the world did this happen? It's been 7 years since the last time it happened, and now all of a sudden it happens again. How in the world? I remember that night, Tamara said, I've already taken 2 pregnancy tests. I said, okay, I'm going to go get another one. So I went down to the Hickory Creek Walmart here, got another pregnancy test, went through the process of checking out with that pregnancy test, and then when I was walking out the door with my bag, the man said, can I see what's in your bag? I thought, God has to have a sense of humor. But I remember going home, using that pregnancy test, and finally believing what Tamara had already known and told me. And that was kind of like the disciples. They were thinking, well, this isn't really that big a deal if he's just asleep. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, hey, you've misunderstood me. Let me make it very clear and speak plainly to you. Lazarus is dead. And he's not going to come back without the rest of the story. Jesus revealed God's purpose. God's purpose in this encounter. One of the things I want you to think about is Jesus saying, I'm glad that I was not there. I'm glad that I was not in that place, because if I had been in that place, you would not see the purpose for which I have come. You were thinking I was a great prophet. You were thinking that I was a man of God, but none of you were thinking he was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. And he began to reveal himself to them. I want you to look at two purpose statements. One we've already gotten to in verse 4. It says, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. And then look at the other one in verse 15. He says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. That was his purpose, that they would not only believe that Jesus was a good man, but they would believe that Jesus was God in the flesh, that God had sent him, and that God was going to work in his life. That's the first thing. Jesus revealed God's purpose in this encounter. The second thing I want us to look at is that Jesus revealed his true identity in this encounter. Look at what it says there. I think it's verse 25. He has this conversation with Martha. I want to start a little bit earlier than verse 25. They had already come to this place. Mary stayed at the house. Verse 20. Verse 21. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you have been here, my brother would not have died. Why did Mary say that? Well, keep listening. Even now, I know. Perfect tense verb in the Greek. What do we know about that? It's a complete knowledge. It's a sense of, I know that this would be true. She says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So what was Martha revealing there? She was revealing a confidence that she had in Jesus, that when Jesus prayed, things were going to happen. Good things were going to work out. Problems that they were facing were going to be resolved when God answered the prayers of Jesus. And that's what she says in verse 22. Then 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha, listen to what she said. She said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Once again, perfect tense verb. I know this to be true. She was confessing what she had heard and believed, that there was going to be a last day judgment, and those who were dead in Christ were going to rise again. So she's talking about this idea here of who is Jesus? Was Jesus just a really good person? Was he somebody who lived according to God's ways? Was he a good, moral person? Or was he God in the flesh? You see, Jesus knew very clearly his identity. He knew who he was. He says here, he says in verse 23, Jesus said to him, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he will rise again on the last day. Jesus said to her, don't miss this. This is his identity. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Now, when you think back to portions of the story that we read, where in the beginning, Lazarus was just sick, Then Jesus made it clear Lazarus has died. It's going to take a resurrection to bring him back. But what is it that Jesus said to her? I am the resurrection and the life. Like what he said in, he says later in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus knew who he was and what he had been sent to do. And he is revealing that through this process. He's revealing that in him is life. He goes on to say, he who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will, he says, never. That's a big word, isn't it? It's a big word to think about. He will never, she will never die. Why? Because Jesus is true life, and he has come to give true life to us. So he is living this out, and he said, do you believe this? If Jesus were to ask you that question today, where you sit here, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the one way that is given to go to the Father? That Jesus Christ is the one way to spend eternity in heaven? That if we know Jesus, if we receive the righteousness, his righteousness, then we will see the blessings of heaven. Why? Because of who Jesus is. We know his identity. His relationship to mankind is revealed in this story. This is the what many people call the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He wept because he felt the struggle that they were having in believing what he had told them. I think that's one of the reasons why he wept. He certainly wept because he was walking with the family out to the grave of Lazarus, if we continue on in this story. In the latter part of the story, it says, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? We're leading up to this moment where Jesus is going to cry out and tell Lazarus to come forth. We talked about Mary and Martha. We talked about his disciples. Now we're talking about these people. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying? Wasn't it possible when Lazarus was just sick? But they were going to see something different in these moments. They were going to see. You remember the time when the guys lowered the man through the roof before Jesus? And he said to him, your sins are forgiven. What did all the religious people of that day do when he said that? Oh, I can't believe he said that. That shocks me. Some probably said, that's blasphemous. He is equating himself with God. Not only did Jesus equate himself with God there, but he equated himself with God here. Look at that. That's the identity that we want to see in there. So in verse 38, so Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a grave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." To which Martha then said, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench. For he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, did I not tell you, did I not give you this reality? Did I not say that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew." Jesus knew that God always hears him. But because of the people standing around, I said it so that they might believe that you sent me. Jesus, in saying this, revealed the path to eternal life. He's going to continue on. He said, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth. Now, we've heard this so many times that the intensity of this moment loses its power. Here is a dead man walking before all these people, and they see him. They see Lazarus. They see Jesus standing there. And they have to know the events of what took place in this moment. Jesus goes on, and he said these things. He cried out in a loud voice, and the man who had died came forth, bound head and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, those who are around him, "Unbind him and let him go." And then look at what it says in verse 45. Therefore. Well, what is that therefore? It's to point us back to what just happened. The event of Jesus calling forth Lazarus from the dead. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw that he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus has done. Always got to be a joy killer, right? They're going to go to the Pharisees and they're going to tell them what Jesus has done. For what purpose? Well, if you continue reading on, you will discover the purpose in which they did that was to give them an opportunity to say Jesus was comparing himself to God. He was comparing himself to God because no one can forgive sin but God. No one can heal a man born blind from birth but God. And no one can raise a man who's been dead for 4 days and in the grave but God. Jesus knew his Father would come through for him. He didn't have questions about the integrity of who God was or what God had done. He knew what he was sent here for. And as we go out and celebrate baptism in a few minutes, the reason why baptism is so important is because it gives us a picture of what Jesus has done for all of us. He didn't say, I only came and died on the cross for the Jews. I only came and died on the cross for men. I only came and died on the cross for women. He said, I came that you might have life, and that life more abundantly. He is the one who gives us life here, and he gives us life for all eternity in the hereafter. He is the one who made that possible, and we celebrate him as we look ahead to the historical event of his resurrection and how that has changed the world, not just for time, but it has changed the world for eternity. And my friend, if you are here today, will you realize, as we are about to go and celebrate new life in Christ, will you realize Christ offers that to you? Just like he said to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Let's pray together.